Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so thank you for choosing to listen to this second episode of the Curzon podcast. Today we're going to be reviewing The Big Short, which is playing now at the Curzon Canterbury and Curzons all over the world. It was released on Friday in England, so we're just going to be explaining to you what we thought of it, why you should see it, and spoiling it at some point, so there'll be a little warning in about 10-15 minutes time about when we're going to start talking about third act stuff that will potentially ruin the film, although it's not really the kind of film that has a big dramatic twist or anything like that, but we'll be talking about things that you might not want to know going in. So, for introductions, I'm Sam Howlett, and as always, well, as the past 2 weeks have been, I'm joined by Helen Seymour. Hi. Hello, Helen, how are you?
I am well, Sam. How
Excellent.
Are you?
Excellent, very well, thank you. So, The Big Short, do you have any... What did you know about this film before going in?
We should say we've just seen it.
Yeah, literally. This is... We've come straight from the cinema to room. Yeah.
To room, back to the flat. So this is first opinions.
Immediate opinions,
straight off
yeah.
the roof.
So it might be slightly less organised than last week's, but
I don't
hopefully
think so,
not.
Sam.
Yeah, we're professionals.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, so...
So I knew that Steve Carell was in it. I knew that Ryan Gosling was in it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that Christian Bale was in it. Mm-hmm. And I knew that Brad Pitt was in it.
Okay.
That's basically all I knew. I knew it was about the financial crisis. I'd seen the trailer.
Okay, good. So you had basically knew what most people will know. Because most people will see this as a film with big actors in it. And that's the reason people are going to see it. That's the reason it's... going to make a lot of money is because you've got Christian Bale, Brad Pitt, Ryan Gosling, and Steve Carell. Steve Carell is essentially the main character, I guess, although it's sort of more of a ensemble piece. There's a lot of different story strands going on at the same time. Some of those big four don't even meet each other, don't even know they exist, and are very rarely, actually, if at all, in the same room, which is quite... interesting. It was not something I knew going in.
Yeah, so were you pretty much the same guy?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that it's directed by Adam McKay, who directed Anchorman, Anchorman 2, Step Brothers, The Other Guys. So these Will Ferrell broad comedy films, which I like. I love Anchorman. The rest are pretty good. And so this is his first film as a dramatic director. So that's probably my main point of interest for this film.
Sure.
That Adam McKay is doing something different, which I'm always intrigued in. And also it's being really well received critically. And in terms of awards, it's got a lot. It's not so, if we're looking at Oscars, it's nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Supporting Actor for Christian Bale. So it's got a lot of big ones. So that's... why I've gone in to see it today, other than the show. And I liked it.
Yeah, and have you got any tips for what is going to win?
Well, to be honest, I don't think it will win any of those.
Okay.
I mean, maybe Best Adapted Screenplay now that Steve Jobs has not been nominated, but Room and Carol are also up for that, which could be sort of sneaking and nab it. I mean, it's funny.
We love Room.
We do love Room. We're going to try not to talk about Room, but yeah. We may end up talking about Room. It's the kind of film that I feel gets nominated but will never win anything, just because it's like, to be nominated is enough for this kind of a sort of smaller film than what the other Oscar nominations. But it did win the best film yesterday at the Producers Guild of America Awards, which is often a bit of a sort of foretelling of the Oscars. So this could be a sneaky favourite, potentially.
Bit of a surprise.
Yeah. So, let's dive in. Shall we talk about the performances, first of all?
Sure.
Oh, first of all, we should say the plot. So the film is just sort of about these different strands of these people who essentially predicted the economic crisis of 2008. Yeah. And they predicted it about 2 or 3 years before it happened. And it's just about how they bet against the housing market. And I don't mean betting like William Hill betting, like, this is $1 million banking terms that I didn't understand all of them, but essentially they're, with this knowledge, they're betting against it and trying to make money off of this impending economic meltdown. And that's the plot.
That's it?
Yeah. So, actors.
Steve Carell was my favourite.
Yes.
Sort of the main character, like we said. Yeah. Really good performance from him.
Really, yeah.
And I just really seen him in Foxcatcher. Obviously, that was the first film where he wasn't doing an out-and-out comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Loved Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
And here again, you see he's got some comic moments, but he's got some really serious moments as well.
Absolutely,
and he can fully handle them.
Yeah.
And he was a joy to watch on screen.
He's definitely, I feel, the heart of the film. Because in a world with a lot of, in a film about banking and bankers, there's going to be a lot of smug, unlikable characters, unfortunately. And there are a lot. But I feel like he's one of the ones who doesn't want to be that kind of banker. So yeah, he's definitely the heart. He's got the most emotional moments. There's one scene in particular, which I thought he was outstanding, actually. Mm. He's kind of a fireball kind of a character that he often loses his temper. He swears in almost every single line of dialogue he has. I could have watched a film just about him, I think, actually.
That's one of the things that I was thinking.
Yeah.
At times, it felt a bit busy to me, all the different strands.
Yes.
And he was so captivating on screen that I sort of just wanted to see
just
more
watch him.
Of him.
Yeah, but I felt that about Christian Bale as well, slightly. He's another one who I feel like almost deserved his own film.
Mm.
Because he was very different. I think Christian Bale filmed all of his scenes in about 10 days.
Really?
Because essentially he's just in one room.
Yes.
He never interacts with any of the other major characters in the film. He has a glass eye. It seems like he's got some form of Asperger's. They never say that, but
he says he finds it difficult to communicate with people and have social interactions.
Yeah, and he sort of gives weird compliments like, I like your hair, did you cut it yourself? That kind of thing. So he's a really interesting character, and he's also the head of this investment banking firm. And that's a nice little quirky character to throw in there.
You get a nice tiny bit of backstory with him as well.
Yeah.
A little scene for him, his childhood.
Yeah.
Which, again, I can see why you would think I'd like to see more of that, because I was also feeling like like to see his childhood, because he's an interesting character.
Someone I haven't seen before, basically, in a film, which was good. Ryan Gosling, he's a funny one, I think. This is his first film in about 2 years. Because in 2013 or 14, he said, I'm going to take a break from acting. And this is his, I may be wrong, I believe it's his first major role anyway. His comeback, in a sense. And he's kind of the Wolf of Wall Street in this film.
Yeah.
And he's not in it a lot. He does narrate the film. And he's the one who, well, we should say there's a lot of breaking the fourth wall in this film. There's a lot of looking at the camera and speaking directly to the audience. We'll talk about that a bit more later. Mm. But so it's kind of him telling the story, and he's essentially Jordan Belfort from The Wolf of Wall Street. Not in it a lot, but when he is in it, that's all he's doing. So he wasn't he didn't blow me away at all, really.
Me neither. It was his character, his dialogue that made me really like Steve Carell.
Yeah, he's a good sort of...
And Christian Bale, because...
Companion to them in that he's the opposite. Yeah.
They pull the film away from being another Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes, definitely.
I didn't really like The Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay, see, I did.
So you did
like
it. Yeah, okay.
I liked it a lot. But yeah, because I feel like it was doing what this film was doing, but in a different way, sort of slandering the bankers. Mm. But a lot of people disagree with that view. Like,
I found it a little too long, I think.
It is about over 3 hours long, I think, Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. And then Brad Pitt's the other main, on the poster anyway, main character, but he's not really in that much. He's one of the, he's a producer in the film. We should
say. I didn't know that.
So he's in it, I think, just because he was producing it. He felt like he should make an appearance. Similar way, because he did this with 12 Years a Slave as well, where he was a producer of the film and then just has a minor role just to be in it, I guess, a little bit. So his character is barely in it.
It's good, though. I wasn't thinking, oh, that's Brad Pitt.
No, he's very well disguised in the role as a sort of very down-to-earth anti-banker.
I liked him.
I also like the two guys that are with him as well. There's sort of these two young guy attempting to break into the banking world. And they were nice characters as well. The film's really good in sort of having these nice little characters that just jump in and out every now and then.
Yeah, and they again took it away because they were working from a garage in the house.
Absolutely, yeah.
And took it away from those big wide office sweeping men adjusting their ties.
Absolutely. I think so... Having watched the trailer and now seeing the film, do you think the trailer well represents the film? Because I really don't.
Okay.
The trailer, the trailer's kind of selling it as a comedy.
Yeah.
Which the film isn't really, I'd say.
You watch the trailer and think you're going in for a comedy.
I thought it would be... The trailer sells it slightly as this kind of bawdy comedy.
Mm.
A little bit of... Not quite The Hangover, but that kind of bro comedy, which it really is not. It's very, very dramatic and quite emotional in the end and has a really serious subject matter that it covers very well.
And this is the one that will kill all films, but I liked it. It was educational as well.
It is really educational,
which, like,
yeah.
doesn't come doesn't, across
no, in the
in
trailer.
This idea that it's a comedy about guys having a go.
It's kind of a documentary as well.
Yeah.
Like, with the voiceover, and there's a lot of... There's a lot of footage that isn't part of the film, if that makes sense. Like in a documentary, there's sort of news footage and things like that going on. Like, it's like a documentary.
There's a follow-up after, you know, the white writing, after saying what's happened.
It definitely felt more like a documentary than a normal fictional film. Which, again, was something I didn't really know going in.
Me neither.
And was kind of a nice little surprise, actually.
Yeah.
Because it does overload you. And just throw these words at you that you're... For a while, I was thinking, oh, no, I don't know what they're talking about. This is going to be a hard 2 hours. But they, I think they get around that.
In a way, when I was watching it, I was kind of thinking, well, what's the best way to tell this story? Because it is a really interesting story.
Yeah.
And it's not one that I knew all the ins and outs of.
Yes.
Is the best way to do a documentary
mm-hmm.
like Fahrenheit 9/11?
Yeah.
And it almost references that kind of investigative journalism style.
Yeah, they're very much...
In the voiceover.
They almost... I think Christian Bale's character especially, and all of them actually, they're almost detectives.
Yeah.
In the way they're kind of cracking the case of the economy. And they travel around America interviewing people. Parts of it are very much like an investigative... You're like sort of All the President's Men type thing, trying to blow the lid on this almost conspiracy.
And the parts when they're talking to us as the audience is they're saying, no, wait, that really did happen. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of that.
Where that educational part comes in.
There's also a lot of... I really liked the bit where the two young economists, whatever they were, find the pamphlet. And they say, oh my God, we found it. And then one of the guys looks at the camera and says, it didn't happen like this. He found out through a friend and I found out
through a journal.
Yeah, but... For the purposes of the film, it's easy to show it like this, which I quite like. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Admit that.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of thing that most films based on true stories would just have in and not really talk about. They just think, oh, let's just, we can get away with that. But I liked it that they said, actually, no, this didn't happen. We'll be. I think it was a film that's fair to its audience and didn't treat its audience like idiots.
No. And I think the film possibly makes a point, though, or... ask of its audience, would you be seeing this film if it was branded as a documentary on the financial crash?
Definitely, yeah.
Would you have gone in if it didn't have those that four main cast?
Yeah.
It wasn't trailered like a comedy.
No.
So I think it's actually really clever in how it's treaded the line.
It doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work. Yeah.
It's sometimes a bit too clever for its own good. And breaking the fourth wall is a clever way to acknowledge its own faults, but is also overused. And I know it's supposed to take you out of the film, but in some cases it really does take you completely out of the film. And it is supposed to, but that's kind of done a bit too much.
Yeah. But then the question comes again, would you have followed the film?
Would you have been able to understand? That's true. I guess it is just a way, without just having another title card or another bit of just bland exposition, which often ruins films for me. I don't like...
Exactly.
I don't like people just telling you what is happening. So it was an interesting way to show it, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit... I think the only thing... One of the things that some people might have a problem with this film is that they think it's too smart and is trying too hard to be smart, which in parts I thought, but overall I think it is smart.
Well, I think it is a clever film, and I think it is important that we know what happened. Yeah. And there's a lot of corruption going on, right?
Absolutely.
So if this is like one of the first films that are kind of going out on a mainstream release that is talking about that corruption, I'm really, really pleased this film was made.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of subject matter, it's a really important film, I think.
It might tread that line a little clunkily between being a comedy and being a documentary and being educational and being a drama.
And also fitting in the emotional beats of the characters.
Yeah.
They try to fit a lot in.
But I applaud it for what it's tried to do.
A for effort. Yeah. Which seems like damning with faint praise, but I do think that they definitely should have done everything the way they did it. It's just there are some reservations about that sometimes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
But is this kind of like a new way of doing film in a way?
Yeah, perhaps. It is quite... I mean, he's nominated for Best Director, and I can see why, because I don't think I've really seen a film made like this for a very, very long time.
Me neither.
You said it was very loud.
Yeah, I found it noisy, yeah. Sam. Yeah.
It is noisy. And I don't know if you found this, but after a lot of scenes, the edit, the cut, would happen almost mid-word.
Yeah, I think there were a few moments where I thought, is that meant to happen?
Yeah, and I think it's really fast-paced.
Mm.
And partially I think that's them trying to make the film stay interesting when it is about a lot of heavy...
Banking detail.
Banking jargon, essentially. It would be a very good play. But I don't know if it's just a sort of, not revolutionary, but a very new way of doing things, the editing like that. And I liked it. I did like it.
The sound was noisy, though.
There is a lot of, I think in Christian Bale's character loves heavy metal.
Which I hate.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. So when those scenes happen, it's ridiculously loud and intrusive into your brain.
Yeah.
There's a lot of drumming. And there's just a lot of shouting as well.
There's a lot of shouting.
And swearing and spittle flying.
Spittle is what, the fifth main character
in this film? Absolutely. Everyone on set should have umbrellas. Just on set. Oh God, it's one of those scenes again.
Which is where it feels like The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, just...
But all those other elements save it. So Steve Carell's, he's got a very poignant scene. Yeah. And he finishes the film? Bar the ending
I think he's the... Yeah, he does finish the film. Yeah, you're right. He has the last scene.
In a line that was delivered really well.
Yeah.
In this... Oh, I shouldn't...
Should we go to spoiler territory now? Let's go into it. We're diving into spoilers.
He does this really beautiful, broken last acceptance that that's the man he's got to become.
Yeah, that was really great, actually, in, on the balcony in the cafe.
Yeah.
That was extraordinary. I think the film, all the film's characters, so they've all basically profited from the collapse of the economy. And when you describe that to someone, they immediately think, oh, so they're all villains, essentially. They're all betting against humanity, in a sense. But no, apart from Ryan Gosling's character, who's the Wolf of Wall Street, who's very, actually admits he's very proud of his 47 million he's made in the collapse, the rest of the characters are really unhappy about it, which was a really, you know, the right decision to make in terms of screenwriting. Especially Steve Carell, whose soul is destroyed. I mean, he starts off, his brother fairly recently committed suicide, and so he's traumatised from that. And all the way through, he's angry. I don't know if I've seen a movie character that's angry for a while. Just angry about everything, about the way the bankers treat the economy and treat the poor people, and the government treat everyone. So he's a very angry character at the end, and he's sort of very energetically angry. But then in this final scene, where he's he's told by one of his sort of employees, if we sell now, you'll make 200 million or something. Mm. And he goes, yeah, sell.
And he's just spent.
Broken, yeah. And he's someone I think should be nominated.
Me too.
And he's not. And I think some people were surprised because they kind of thought, oh, this could be his year. I mean, maybe. Because he didn't win for Foxcatcher, which a lot of people were surprised by. So people thought, yeah, maybe this is his year. Alas, not to be, but he's extraordinary in that scene in particular.
Can I present him with an award?
Yes, the Helen Award.
Well done, Steve. There you go.
He has some funny hair in this film, though.
I think it's good hair. It's kind of Bowie.
It's like, a bit Bowie, yeah.
I like it.
There's a lot of interesting hair choices in the film.
Yeah. I think it's good, though, because it does take... Oh, it took me out of thinking, oh, that's Steve Carell, or oh, that's Christian Bale.
Oh, that's Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, especially Ryan. Bizarre. Yeah.
It's very strange, swept back, tightly curled.
Is it a perm sound?
Yeah, slightly. It looked potentially like a perm job. He's also very tanned, but very obviously fake tanned, which I guess is intentional.
I mean, normally, Ryan...
Gosling would.
I mean, I'm quite a fan of Ryan, but normally, here, but here...
Definitely not.
No.
He didn't do it for you.
Not that that's the point of Ryan Gosling. He's an excellent actor. Yes. But I'm just saying that in a lot of films, you know, that's quite... Take Drive, which is one of my favourite films.
Oh, good.
I mean, that's a lovely little extra bonus there that he's looking pretty good.
Whereas here...
He's got all perm, guys.
And you can sort of see... You know, someone has a fake tan and you can... And you can tell their hair's dyed. There's kind of a weird sort of colour crease, I call it, at the top of their forehead, where they just don't quite merge and don't quite match.
Ryan Gosling and the colour crease.
Yeah, he just kind of has that all the way through, and I just remember looking at every scene he's in like, oh, Ryan, what's happened?
He's let himself go.
Yeah.
In fairness, he's not a likeable character.
No, and he's not trying to be.
Yeah, so actually maybe he did a good job, like, but we've seen it before in Wolf.
Absolutely. We were saying to each other earlier that it's not a film that, in terms of the subject matter, that we know a lot about, even though we've lived through that.
We were a bit young.
We were a bit... I think I was around 13.
Which would make me 15.
Yeah. I don't know if my math is completely wrong there. But Yeah, so, I mean, I remember hearing the word recession used a lot, but I don't know, it didn't mean a lot to me then. And so seeing this film now is like seeing a documentary exposing something I didn't know.
Well, I'm glad I know.
Mm, absolutely.
I want to know about corruption.
Yeah. Not just corruption, but corruption on this level.
Mm.
Like, it seems huge. And I do. You're watching, you think, why don't I know more about this? Like, why didn't I know this when it was happening? Why wasn't this all over the news? And because there's a bit that's actually very funny at the end, where Ryan Gosling's character says, oh, all these arrests were made, the government disbanded the big banks, and everything was okay. And then you hear, like, a window smash, and he goes, only joking. Mm. Only one person was arrested, and the government actually gave the bankers more money for them to pay themselves a higher salary. Which is, I mean, it's a very angry film, I think, as well. I think Adam McKay is very politically minded and very angry about this. So it's a real...
It's very political.
Very, kind of a passion project, I think,
for him. The more I think about it, the more clever this film is.
Yeah, it's growing on me, actually. And I mean, I know I only saw it half an hour ago, but...
It's growing on me.
Yeah, the more I talk about it, the more I think, yeah, this is a really good film, a really important film.
It's important, isn't it? That's the
Absolutely,
word.
Absolutely, yeah.
Without being...
And relevant.
Yeah. Very relevant.
I mean, there's a thing at the end about... It's mentioned something to do with 2015, which I was thinking, yeah, that is now. This is still going on.
Sam knows his dates.
Yeah.
2060.
Oh, you know what I mean? Like, it's current.
Yeah.
Then. See, my maths is not very good. Which is why I was scared of it by the film, because anything to do with finance or maths or economics... You might as well be talking a different language to me.
Well, Sam, I'm glad, because I'm really bad at maths as well.
Yeah.
And I was concerned.
Yes, I was
that
quite...
I just wouldn't understand it. And there are parts that I just...
Even with Margot Robbie in the bath.
Even with Margot doing her best.
If I could take Margot Robbie in the bath around with me everywhere, I would like that.
I wouldn't call you Sam.
For several reasons. But mainly because she'll explain things I don't get.
Yeah.
She's a useful little tool in this film.
Now, I think we should be honest in saying that maybe because we are not the most mathematically minded fellows, it's slightly dragged in parts. I think just Definitely. The weight of all the maths.
And it is a long film. For me, 2 hours is a long film.
2 hours. I like 1:30. That's my favourite film length.
Yeah, this is 2 hours, 10 minutes.
See, that 10 minutes you feel, don't you?
See, I like a good 90-minute film.
I love a 90-minute film.
Perfect, yes. Yeah, it did drag a bit, and there are parts... I guess I feel like they could have cut them out. And I don't... I mean, I haven't just seen it. I can't think of a scene in particular that I think, oh, you could have lost that, but... I'm sure when they see it again, there'll be a particular scene. I think, yes, this is the one that they could lose. And there is a lot to take in, you're right. I mean, even if it was 90 minutes, we may still be thinking it's too much because...
It's heavy.
You're thrown a lot. You're just sat there and there's people talking, literally they're talking to you about this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing that you may, if you're like us, aren't familiar with. I mean, the amount of times I heard the word bonds...
Yeah.
Is incredible, and I'm not 100% sure what a bond is.
No.
So, you might. I did think maybe I should.
We are in our 20s.
We don't need to know what a bond is.
We don't have a mortgage.
No.
We probably will never. I mean, but let's remember that our, you know, people coming to see this film, will be people who really felt.
That were really and were affected and very aware of this happening.
Yeah.
And so for them, it's even more important than we think it is.
Yeah, and I think it's going to move a lot faster for those people who aren't trying to think, oh, wait, what
They're
happened?
Not spending the time thinking, so what does that mean? They're going to be there. Yes, I remember doing that. I remember that happening.
I know what a mortgage is.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what that word
means.
I do
know what a mortgage is.
I know what year it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're probably not the best people to fully understand this film, but
yeah, we liked it.
We liked it. We enjoyed it.
So I think
So, out of five, what are your thoughts? It's hard to give a rating with something you saw half an hour ago, but have a go, mate.
I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5.
Okay. Which is a recommendation, as Empire say.
Which is...
Yeah?
Is a recommendation. I genuinely think that if you want to know about one of the biggest corruptions that happened in our lifetimes, this is an excellent way to even just get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
It's funny as well. We haven't really talked about the
We said that, oh, it's marketed as a comedy, but it's not a comedy. And I mean, it isn't a comedy, but it is often very funny. I think Steve Carell's temper is often quite amusing and done in a comedic way.
Yeah, nice little memories of The Office for me.
Yeah, definitely, actually. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Did you not?
No. Cool, because I don't really watch it that much. Okay. But yeah, that's true, actually. He's kind of...
It's not
completely, but there are moments, yeah.
I mean, especially when he walks in, his first thing is he walks into like a self-help group. And he's, I had a wonderful little nostalgia moment for The Office there.
I also think that Ryan Gosling is funny in a sort of gross way. Like at the end when he's in the toilet on the phone and he's telling people, nope, get out, that kind of thing.
Go away, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was amusing, but in a kind of deplorable way.
See, I just didn't find that really funny.
Okay, interesting. So he's the one, then, you think, his character is the weak point of the film?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I agree with you, in a way.
And he's the narrator.
Yeah. That probably
didn't help. There's a good little bit where he raises his eyebrow.
Yeah. That's going to be the poster quote. Ryan Gosling raises his eyebrow in a very interesting way.
I think there's just other people that are more interesting, isn't it?
Mm. See, I think I give it 4 out of 5.
Why the 4?
I think just the importance and the brevity and its ingenuity, Adam McKay's ingenuity in directing, and the difference between something like this and Step Brothers is astonishing.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'd give it full 4. I don't think it will be on my top 10 of the year at the end or anything. And it's not a film that I'm going to rush out and see again. But I, would recommend seeing this film.
I would really recommend seeing it.
It's really interesting is just the word I'd describe it.
Yeah.
If I could only use one.
And I actually hope that this paves the way for more films that deal with big corruption.
Definitely.
Ways that the man, I'm putting that in the quotes, is screwing us over, in these kind of with big actors that are gonna draw a lot of people in.
Yeah, and that
it's kind of using the system to
exactly smash that's what I was gonna say that we're now at the stage where big A-listers are anti big institutions, which is a good thing, and this film really shows that.
That's kind of great, actually, if you think about it. This might be a really exciting time.
Mm, absolutely. So, yeah, not absolutely not boring. I was never bored.
It's not dry.
It's not dry at all. Yeah, recommend it. Okay, so any final words, do you think? Any final little thoughts you'd like to add?
No.
Okay. I think for me, if you could only see one film this week, I'd still... say Room, but this is definitely worth your time as well.
We do love Room,
but this is also a very interesting take on something that you think you know but you don't. So next week, Spotlight,
which it might be a nice little comparison.
It's
similar behind the scenes people running around in offices
taking down the man.
Yeah.
Although if Spotlight suddenly, Michael Keaton looks at the camera and says, and now here's Margot Robbie in a bath to explain this film, that would not go
I'm
down.
I'm walking the... out.
Yeah, if that happens. That happened. It'd be weird if that was a new trend, that every single film had Margot Robbie in the bath explaining things to you.
Margot Robbie would be wrinkly by the end.
She'd be drunk as well, but with that champagne.
She has champagne as well. It's very, it's not the best bit of the film.
it's bizarre. Okay, so thank you very much for listening and see you next week.
Goodbye.
Hold up. normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.